So I'm going to talk today about The Great Transformation, a book by Polanyi. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Basically, this ayat talks about how the actions of people create a lot of fitna and fasad on earth. And this is the main theme of Polanyi. A great change took place in Europe, where the entire way of organizing the economy was changed. And the thing is that economy is not independent of society, so, and it's not independent of politics. So the way that the subject is treated conventional, you are told that economics is separate and we can study it separately, but this is not true. And now, since we are all used to living in a market society, we have developed certain ways of thinking, and these make it difficult for us to understand other ways of thinking, which were prevalent before the market society came into existence. And interestingly, the pre-market society ideas are very strongly consistent with Islam, and the ideas of market society are very inconsistent with Islam. So today we have great difficulty in understanding what Islam is saying, because our minds have been conditioned by a market society. So we're not going to talk about Islam in this lecture. It's a short lecture. I'm going to talk only about history of Europe. But in European history, in studying it, you have to understand that there are different ways of organizing society. And the traditional society everywhere in the world, except in the post-industrial revolution England, was based on three principles. It's called reciprocity. You give me something, I give you something else. And it's not, doesn't have to be the same kind. It's not a market exchange. It's not purchase and sale. It is based on social considerations, that I give you a gift and you will give me a gift. There is in the market society, it's just this is worth that much. The market society is an anonymous transaction. I give you money, you give me the goods. There is no relationship. But reciprocity is doing good to others because they do good to you. Redistribution means that those who have more than what they need, they give it to the others who have less than what they need. And householding, mostly you take care of your own household, you try to produce everything that you need for yourself. So these are the three principles along which traditional societies are organized. But so markets can exist in a traditional society. This is what often confuses people. But markets are not central to the society. That is, if you shut down all the markets in a traditional society, society will not suffer. And even now, if you go to the small rural areas in Pakistan, there's a small market, and if you close down all the stores, nobody would be seriously affected. It's just a convenience. But in a market society, markets are a central mechanism for distribution. If you close down the market in Islamabad, people will start being hungry and starving, because that's the only way that they can get to food. And so markets, when the markets are central to society, that is what a market society is. In that situation, then money and prices are central. What does this thing cost? And the one, another way to distinguish between a market society and a traditional society is that money and prices exist, but they're not central. I mean, people don't know the price of most of the things because most things are not sold in the market. So another important characteristic of market societies is that markets try to commodify everything. Everything is for sale in a market society. So human beings are for sale. How much can I buy 8 hours worth of labor for? Well, now labor is not, in a traditional, labor is not an abstract concept, it's person. So you can't buy people at all. So the question becomes that, how can I get people to help me to do something? So for example, in a community society, if a house is being built, then everybody comes and builds the house just as a neighborly act, and because that's what's needed. So, but when things are always in the market, then that also shapes our minds in different ways, which we will see. Now there is a clash between social ways and market ways. This is very important to understand that market society and traditional society are not compatible. They conflict with each other. There are many examples of this, and Ariely has given a chapter on this, and there are many, many people. So for example, suppose that my mother cooks very good dinner, and I say, "Mother, you have cooked an excellent meal. How much should I pay you?" So this is clearly not a sensible thing to say, but this is just to show you why there's a clash between the market society and the traditional society. Similarly, if we say, "Look, there is somebody who is dying and I need some blood," how many people will volunteer? Many people will stand up. If I say, "I would like to buy some blood for 1,000 rupees a pint," very few people will stand up. I mean, a very different class of people will stand up, people who are desperate and so, needy. So you understand, that's just to explain. So now in the basic theme of Polanyi is that today the market society has become so widespread, we all think automatically in terms of the market society. How can I buy things? How can I sell things? What is my wage going to be? But these are not the central questions in a traditional society. And the market society came into being by a revolution, a paradigm shift. Market society cannot emerge naturally as an evolutionary process in the tradition. It comes into being by force, by violence, by destroying traditional society. And today we see this process happening in Pakistan, that as the market values are coming into existence, the traditional values are going out of existence. There's a joke, but there's a reality to this joke, that a villager came into the city and he went to a restaurant and he went back and he said, "These people are very uncivilized. Everybody was eating and nobody offered me any food." So this is the way that there's a when the restaurants come in, and actually the reverse is also true. I was met a Pathan who was very sad that, you know, in our village there is a hotel has opened up, and we could not imagine that if a guest comes into your village, then you will charge him money and put him in a room. Everybody would be very eager to host a guest. This is the tradition of Mehman Nawazi. So the market society is based on exploitation, and today the market society is on the verge of destroying the planet because they're exploiting everything which is available, and killing species and destroying the oceans and polluting the atmosphere, and because it cannot fight back. And if you can make money by it, then it's good. So today we need to think again about undoing the great transformation. So today there is a crisis going on in economics that after the global financial crisis, many people have said that there's something seriously wrong with economics and we need to reconsider how to do economics. And there are many, just like your Helen White Antitext, there are at least 8 to 10 different books, which all of which say that current micro theory is wrong, and we should, and also macro theory, and we should develop a new kind of theory. So many people are making the effort. But basically the real adjustment that is needed is very deep and difficult. Nobody is going that far, that we have to undo the changes created by the market society. So to really understand the problems that we face today, we have to understand the Great Transformation, which is what the theme of that book is. So the deepest and the most fundamental critique of the capitalist economy was made by Karl Polanyi. And this presentation is based on a post which I made, which is only about 1,000 words, which summarizes Polanyi. But there is and it has received thousands of hits for many years. It's continuously very popular because today people are looking for explanations, and Polanyi has the best explanation of what is happening today. So one of the important things that Polanyi says, something this is very important to understand, is that economic theory is a product of history. It is an artifact of the European culture. It is not, it's like Shakespeare, you see, it's emerged out of European history, and you can't understand Shakespeare if you don't know European society and culture, and because it's about that. So similarly, modern economic theory is a product of the European experience, and so it can't be understood outside of the European history context. And in particular, the Industrial Revolution was very instrumental in shaping how people thought about economics, and that is what has led to the economic theory today. So one of the things that economic theory itself tells you that is that it is universal, it is applicable everywhere. But if we just apply our mind, it's clear that the theory of European economies must be different from what is happening. Everything is different here from Europe. So we need to have a different theory. But there is this idea of European universalism that all societies will eventually are primitive forms of our society, and when they grow up they will become like us. This is just a ridiculous conceit. It's a pride that they think that we are the greatest. Otherwise there is no reality to this. The Chinese civilization was much more advanced than them, and Islamic civilization was much more advanced than them in many dimensions, in terms of tolerance and in terms of having space for other religions. And this is, and Islamic Spain was a model of tolerance and harmony, where Jews and Christians and Muslims all lived together in peace and harmony. And they have never managed to learn how to do this to this day, how to live in peace and harmony with others. So even when they are talking about now the day of the nations are always fighting each other. Over the past 30 years, we have been in continuous state of war, even though there is no need for war, because America is continuously attacking and conquering places which are weaker than it. So there's the law of the jungle, which is what they believe in. So even Huntington, he said that, okay, nations have, the aid of nations is passed, now the civilizations will come. But civilization cannot coexist in peace and harmony. They will clash. Now, this is just a mindset that we must always be fighting. It is not. And Islam actually doesn't have that, and none of the civilizations had. All right, so basically there are 6 lessons that we need to draw from this. Transition. I'm not going to go through the history. Polanyi goes through the whole history. I'm just going to go through the 6 points that are made. One point is that markets are not natural. Today we think that societies cannot function with markets, but actually this is not true. Societies have always functioned without markets. Markets have existed, but they have not been central to society. The second point is that market societies use principles which are strongly in conflict with natural human tendencies. And so, for example, in markets require a labor market. A labor market is created when people are desperate. And so one of the things that markets do is that they say that don't help the poor. And they make the poor feel responsible for their own poverty, that if you don't have money, it's your fault. You should work, you should get a job, you should get an education, and so on. So, because market and tradition is in conflict, market does not come into being gradually. It comes into being by revolution, by destroying traditional society. The third point is that unregulated markets are deadly to human society and to environment because they exploit everything to make profits. And today we can see that the exploiting environment, exploiting human beings. Human beings are being sucked into the machine for production of wealth. Previously, people would use to make money to feed their families. Now, people are feeding their families to the work force so that everybody can make money. So the capitalist monster is a machine for making money, and it takes everything. The whole family, mother, father, children, all are working so as to make money for the capitalist. Some of it is coming to them, but that's only a side effect. The fourth point is that market ideologies come to dominate the discourse, that we all start thinking in terms of, well, what's in it for me? Yeah. And you can see that in the USA, they are writing articles about the cost and benefit of children. Some children have sued their parents that you did not bring us up correctly, so we should get some money. Because so everything is calculated. Becker has written an article on economics of suicide, that when people calculate that the benefits of living are lower than the costs of living, then they commit suicide. Economics of divorce, economics of this, that, and the other. Now, in a traditional society, there are some things which are beyond economics. We don't calculate the cost of bearing children or having children. And we know every day in Shifa that people come in and they sell everything to save their child's life. They don't think about what will happen to us afterwards. So they don't make the economic calculation. But in a market society, the market ideology comes to being that, okay, if I save this child, is it worth it? And the costs and benefits are calculated. So the market ideology comes to dominate. So when people are, when you have the market ideology, then you say, okay, there's 1,000 rupees to share, and if I give him 100, I will have 100 less. So this is the maximization which comes into being as a result of market. In fact, Polanyi said that Adam Smith was completely wrong about selfishness, but he was also very prophetic that when at that time, the society was not a market society when Adam Smith was living. And so generosity could be seen everywhere. But as market societies come to dominate, generosity becomes less, selfishness increases, and so on. Now, because markets actually have been disastrous for human beings, the survival of the market society depends on painting disasters as great success and deceiving the masses of the people about the true nature of market society. So today, you will see a lot of propaganda saying that markets are wonderful and free markets work best and governments are terrible and everything will work fine. And this is what the message of the textbooks is. And the hockey stick argument that we discussed, that since market society came into existence, life has become miraculously wonderful. And the truth is exactly the opposite. The last point is that the shock doctrine, that market, because the market is actually a disaster for human beings, it destroys the traditional bonds of community, love, affection. People start making calculations about things that they should not be making calculations about. So market cannot come into existence naturally because it's against the natural tendencies. So it has to be imposed by force. That is the shock doctrine, that first you create a shock and then you force people into patterns which they don't want to go because they are in shock, so they don't resist. So basically, in a paternalistic traditional society, people take care of each other. In market societies, everybody is on their own, individuals. In traditional societies, human beings are valuable. They have dignity. They have, every human being is worth the entire planet. You cannot buy and sell human beings. In market society, the labor market is essential to the functioning of the market society. So you have to buy and sell human beings. Now there is a very interesting and separate question. If every human being is so precious that you cannot buy even 1 hour of his time, how are you going to run production? So there is a way to do this, but people who live in market societies can't understand how it can be done because they only know this pattern. But there are other patterns that let us all get together and do something for the good of the society. And in that case, the money that is generated is used to support people, but it is not a payment for services because the services of a human being are too precious to be paid for. Labor and land become commodities, they are sold and bought, which allows for extreme amounts of misery to be inflicted upon the labor because you are something that I have purchased, so I can do whatever I like with you. Similarly, land, which is actually taken as a gift of Allah and Amana, becomes just something for sale. You can destroy it. So one of the crucial things that is necessary to understand is because markets are so deadly, human beings are always fighting to protect themselves from the market. So if you want to understand history, what Polanyi says is that there is a double movement. On the one hand, the market tries to swallow everything. On the other hand, the human beings try to protect. So both of these things, movements, are going on at the same time. There's the protection movement of society and there's the expansion movement from the markets. And so if you look at history, you get confused because opposite things are going on at the same time. So once you understand that there is a battle going on, and when you understand economic theory is just one half of a battle, so then you have to understand what is the other half, who is being hurt by this ideology and how are they defending themselves. Then you can understand what economic theory is and what anti-economic theory is. So market ideologies have come to dominate, so this I'm telling you, but in all over the world students are being taught that economic theory is the absolute truth and you had better learn it if you want to understand the world. So they are market societies are dominant, is dominant, and the market ideology, which teaches that all of these things, that the labor gets its marginal product, capital gets its marginal product, these are the truth, which means that everybody is being paid fairly. Even now people are arguing that, like Mankiw, he's saying that, you know, what's wrong with somebody being rich? You know, there's massive inequality. People are about 50 people, 62 people have half of the world's wealth, and this is increasing and very rapidly. So people are saying, what's happening? Why is there so much inequality? He says, well, they are just more productive and they are making money. What's wrong with that? Now the reality is that there is huge amount of corruption that has been created. Zahar al-fasad fil barri wal bahri. Both human society has been corrupted, and the land we live in, and thousands of species have been destroyed. Yes, yani it's unimaginable. I mean, it's the tragedy is so overwhelming. Today, you know, countries have been destroyed to make profits there. Syria, Libya, Iraq, all bombed to death and thousands and millions of people's lives destroyed. Why? Just for the sake of profits, nothing else. So this is all capitalism. This is not written in your textbooks, but this is what capitalism is really doing. But nobody realizes it because they are painting disasters as success. So that's the thing, the hockey stick argument. No, we have done wonderfully. Everybody has a great standard of living. Look at 100 years ago, people didn't have refrigerators, people didn't have cars. Well, this is not what is needed for human beings. As we said, happiness does not come from refrigerators and cars. It comes from character. And market societies destroy character. So what can we do? Well, it's not easy to change things, because just as the market society came into being by revolution, so to reverse this, there is a lot of power which market society has, and so one has to use power to counteract it. But it is not easy, because the mindsets are aligned. The first battle has to be won on the soft power ground. What Karl Marx said is that not just the capitalists enslave the laborers, but they make them believe that this is the right and natural and just way. So we believe that whatever the state of the world is, this is good and efficient and optimal, and we should live within it. And that is the first battleground. All right, so that's the end of this lecture. Half an hour was